Hey guys, I'm Em from the fashion and beauty blog, The Lipstick Fever. When I moved to London over a year ago, I felt like there weren't a ton of obvious resources for women moving abroad or moving cities. My biggest source of strength and growth for my big move was through the inspiring and amazing women from all over the world that I've been meeting. Now, I want to share those conversations with you. We're going to hear from female entrepreneurs, industry experts, and some major female badasses on a global level. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Big Move Podcast. I'm your host, Em, from The Lipstick Fever. And today I am back with a very dear friend of mine, Christina Myers. So Christina's originally California born and bred and now lives in London. She worked at Merrill Lynch in venture services before moving to Scotland to get her master's in human rights law at the University of Edinburgh. Afterwards, she worked for the UN before starting her GDL. After making the decision not to finish her third degree, she then became a certified yoga teacher and started studying healing nutrition, like Ayurveda and traditional medicine. This left her to decide to launch her blog and brand Hotlistic to ultimately work with women to help heal their mind, body, and soul through a blend of Eastern and Western traditions. Christina, welcome back to the Big Move Podcast.
Oh my God, I can't believe I'm here. It seems like ages ago.
I know. So you were literally one of my first guests in episode 5. Mm-hmm. And so that was well over a year ago now that you came and chatted with me. And I shared a bit more on why I was launching the podcast. But today we are going to flip it a little bit and hear a bit more from you. But really the reason for bringing you back was you and I have become dear friends in London, and we're both expats and Americans, and we found each other through this crazy move on both of our ends. And so want to just chat through like friendships, moving and living abroad, and then also hear more about your new holistic and health and wellness journey. So I'm excited to have you.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I can't wait to dive deep into, what brought us together, and then also totally a different change of path for me from when we last spoke. So it'd be nice and fun to dive into that too.
So thanks for coming over. We're actually sitting here socially distanced in my living room. But it's nice to like see you and talk face to face, as much as I've loved doing these episodes remotely with people, because it's opened up obviously more geographies for me and speaking to people that are back home and in New York and the US and stuff. There's something to be said for like sitting down and talking face to face and having like a little coffee date.
Oh yeah. And I am like very selfishly enjoying Parker in the kitchen, just like making silly faces and like, I'm the lucky one. Don't worry.
He's a little nugget in the other room. So listeners, you may hear from him. Hopefully not. So again, thanks for joining me on a bit of like a coffee date. I think something that I want to just like dive right into, and it's based off of some feedback actually that I've gotten from followers of the Big Move podcast and listeners that like, they kind of want to hear a bit more back to basics in the sense of like living and moving abroad and like building friendships and creating a network here. There's so much to be shared and said around that topic. And so, you know, building a network in a new city, obviously that's something that you have done and it's something that I have done. And so I'm excited to kind of dive into that. So I've been here for 3 years. Refresh us with how long you've been in London.
Yeah, so I've been in London, gosh, it's been 2 years now, maybe 2.5 years actually. I first moved over to Edinburgh to get my master's. And when I moved there, I thought it would be hard because obviously it's a new country, a new culture. But I did have the benefit of being at a university, so it was a lot easier to make friends just because you're in class with people and you're kind of forced to. So London for me was almost the first time I really moved to a city where I just didn't know anybody. So that's kind of when I reached out to you. We were in the process of moving. I haven't even moved down here yet. And I messaged a couple of people on Instagram that I was like, oh, I like their vibe. Like, you know, maybe we can get a cup of coffee. They can tell me the tips and tricks of London, or like, maybe we can be friends. I don't know. So yeah, that's when I reached out to you and I was like, hi, I'm moving to London. Can we hang out?
Yeah. And I loved that because I did the same exact thing that you did before I moved here. And it's something that I've spoken on my podcast and then other people's podcasts too, is like just reaching out to people literally on Instagram and LinkedIn and putting yourself out there. And it was cool for me to be on the receiving end for the first time when you messaged me. Cause I guess I had been in London for maybe like, I don't know, a year and change when you messaged me on Instagram. We met at the Marylebone Hotel. Mm-hmm. We had a coffee date and like we clicked immediately and we've been friends ever since. And I think it's so relevant to this episode. And I think it's just a good example of like, you never know what will come back to you when you do put yourself out there.
Yeah. And honestly, I was so, so nervous. First, just to reach out to you initially. And then second of all, like when we actually met up, I remember telling my boyfriend, I was like, what if she doesn't like me? What if she thinks I'm like weird? Like, is it weird that I reached out to her on Instagram? Like, is this like a new Tinder thing? Like, I just don't get it. But I mean, obviously it worked out really, really well for us. And I'm so glad that like I pushed through that uncomfortable feeling because, yeah, like we are really close and it has opened a lot of doors and opportunities for both of us, I think.
Yeah, completely. And then I guess I do want to touch on like the flip side of those reach outs because I remember when I was doing so before, similar to you, like before I came over to London, I reached out to a few girls on Instagram and then LinkedIn. I remember emailing a few people from like a professional perspective because I was also job searching at the time. You may hear crickets, you know, you mm-hmm. may not hear back from people. And I think it's just something to quickly touch on that, like, that's okay. People are busy and you may not always get the response that you're looking to receive. And I guess it's just like setting up expectations in your head, if that makes sense, for like what the outcome will be.
Totally. And I think taking that even one step further is, you're also not going to become best friends with everybody you meet. Like I had coffee dates with probably 15 people when I first moved down here. And I really only keep in touch with a couple of them. That's not to say like I'm still kind of their cheerleader on Instagram and we're still like supportive in that way. And, you know, I appreciate them. But yeah, I think going in with a certain, I don't know, managed expectations and realistic expectations so you don't get super bummed out, you know?
Exactly. Like don't get bummed out. Try to keep an open mind mm-hmm. and understand that, right, there's going to be two sides to that. And I'm curious if you feel similarly, like making new friends and building new friendships, one in a new city, but also in like your late 20s and your 30s can arguably be more challenging than mm-hmm. making friends when we were like back in middle school. And we all know how that was, very cutthroat. But did you kind of find it similar? Like it can be challenging in this day and age, like where we are all so busy and strapped for time mm-hmm. to put in the effort and make time, I guess, for people.
Yeah. And I also think London's a really big city and it's not like you can meet up for somebody with coffee and be home in, you know, an hour and a half. Like that's like a proper 3-hour thing. Like it takes at least 30 minutes to get one place or, you know, in the next. And it's managing your time, managing, I think, your friends' expectations of your boundaries, because I totally used to be somebody who booked myself breakfast, lunch, and dinner and drinks with different people every single day of the week. And I burnt out. So it's really trying to find that balance of prioritizing your time, your health, but also maintaining those relationships because they are just as important.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And I think one other thing, and I think I mentioned this to you when we were kind of like just prepping for our chat, was being that you are in this kind of international hub and you're meeting people from all over and you're meeting expats and you're also meeting people from, right, like virtually all over the world, from the UK, from other European cities. Like people are kind of constantly in flux here and they're always moving about and you might be putting time into a friendship with someone that you met here. And the next thing you know, maybe like 6 months down the line, they're like, oh, hey, I'm moving back to the US, or oh, hey, I'm actually moving to another city. Like, have you encountered that or have you kind of had any experience, I guess, with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, again, it goes back to managing kind of your expectations, right? You know that everybody's in flux and you could even go back and kind of flip that and say, well, we were the people who moved. Like we were the people who people put attention and effort and time into, and then like, okay, bye, we're gonna go move to London.
Yeah.
And maybe think of it from your perspective, say, okay, well, I know that I moved, but I still reach out to my friends back home. Maybe I don't see them every day at the bar or whatever, but but you make time for them. So I think when the relationships do spark that special something inside of you, you do set time aside to either FaceTime them or shoot them a text, or, you know, if you're traveling where they live just by chance, you'll go to dinner. Like, you make the time.
Yeah.
You know?
Completely. And then I think something that this pandemic has taught all of us is we can't see each other in person as much as we used to. Like, we can't always meet up for that in-person coffee date, or, you know, when you're around central London, you know, meeting is just not as easy, obviously. And forget, you know, groups right now and that kind of thing. So it's challenging, but I think what it's taught us is we FaceTime, we make phone calls. I feel like the phone call has made a comeback.
Oh my God, right? Because it's like, I don't want to put on makeup all the time, and I don't want to, like, maybe I just got out of the shower. Like, you don't want to see that all the time. The phone call is literally making a comeback. And to that point, I feel like my relationships have even gotten deeper and, like, more intimate because, I don't know, you're not at the pub, you're not at that workout class almost getting distracted. You really have to be present with that person having conversations because there's nothing really else for you to give your attention to when you're on the phone. So I really do feel like it's actually made the relationships that I want to be stronger, stronger.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm finding that too. Like, I'm checking in with people a little bit more. I'm sending more voice notes and WhatsApp. I feel like the WhatsApp voice note is a huge thing over in the UK and over in Europe versus the US. So I've started sending my friends back home like voice notes here and there. But they're well received. They're like, I feel like you're actually in my living room. It's nice. Keep sending me them.
I mean, my friends make fun of me. They're like, you're literally becoming British. And I'm like, okay, no, I'm not. Let's not go that far. But yeah, they do like it because it is more intimate and it's more, and I feel like texting, I don't know, you can come across cold when that's not in your intention. And with the voice notes, you really can get your personality and your emotions across a lot easier than just an emoji, which, don't get me wrong, like, I love my emojis, but I don't know, to the next level.
Completely. And now that I'm a mom, I feel the exact same way about text. Like, it's actually easier for me to just, like, send a voice note or make a phone call rather than, like, turn away from Parker and try to type, like, this big long thing. So I'm kind of with you. It's kind of an interesting takeaway, I guess, from all of this.
Voice notes are great.
Yeah.
Get on board.
Take your relationship to the next level. Okay, I feel like I've shared like two or three of like my tips for, I guess, success. And I like hate to call them that, but I guess, okay, basically just things that have maybe like worked for you in terms of like building new friendships and a new network for yourself in London. Do you have like two or three, I guess, like concrete takeaways people can like leave this episode with?
Totally. I think I mentioned one of them sort of already, and that's just to really be open and non-judgmental, with any interaction you have with people. So you mentioned like if somebody doesn't get back to you, like don't take it personally. Like they have their busy lives. And especially once you kind of immerse yourself in that London fast-paced lifestyle, like you get it. So really just don't be hard on yourself if you don't get along with every girl. And then the next one I think would be to step outside of your comfort zone, but also know your boundaries and know your limits. So like you definitely do want to push yourself out of your comfort zone to meet people, to have those cool experiences, but you need to be really solid on your limits and your boundaries because it is a big, big place out there with a lot of different options, which are great for everybody, but maybe not you.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and then just have fun with it. You're going to meet some cool people along the way. So just have fun with it.
Have fun with it. Stay open. I really like that. Those are great tips. Okay, cool. So kind of shifting gears, I guess, a little bit and kind of, again, talking about this time in the world that we're in. I feel like this has come up a lot in different podcast themes and content that I'm seeing out there is like, this is a time of change. Like, this is a time of evolving, maybe shifting gears in your career. You know, people are changing jobs for a range of reasons right now. And so kind of talking on that, I know that this is something you have been heavily going through yourself over the last year, making your shift from getting your law degree to what you're doing now, which is holistic health and wellness. So I want to kind of hear from you, like, about this change and this pivot and like maybe what made you make that shift?
Yeah, totally. So you kind of mentioned, I guess, my corporate experience in that beautiful intro of yours. But yeah, I kind of grew up thinking I was going to go the corporate route. That was the only option. You could say it was family pressure. You could say it's pressure I put on myself, whatever it is. And I really committed to that. So after I got my master's in human rights law and I moved to London, I had a couple of months to just basically finish my dissertation and settle in London before I started my third degree. And it was in that time that I really just started to experience kind of the creative side of me and the holistic side of me. And I really, really dove deep into that. And it's something I'd been researching for a long time, having gone to university in LA. Like, I just feel like that's kind of the epicenter of, I guess, how trendy it's gotten, you may say. So I really, really just allowed myself to explore my passions for those couple of months before starting my degree. Halfway through my degree, the GDL, if I'm honest, there was a lot of family drama that was happening. And I had kind of reached a point in my life where I had never truly dealt with the traumas that I experienced as a child and whatnot. So it was kind of like my cup was full. Then you put law school on top of that, and then you sprinkle on more family drama, and I just couldn't handle it. I burnt out. I really, really needed to focus on myself. And it got to the point where it was scary. I was scared to be in my own mind.
That's a lot at once.
So yeah, it was definitely a lot. I took some time off to really dive into some different types of healing modalities, and just work through the trauma. And so I spent a couple of months full-time job really healing myself. And I decided at the beginning of this year, literally January 1st, I'm going to get on a plane, go to Bali for 3 weeks and just heal, rest, recover, come back to the UK, finish my degree, and continue down this, you know, corporate path that I wanted to. Obviously, I wanted to work in human rights, but it's still very, very corporate, very ticking the boxes. And so when I was in Bali, I was in a yoga nidra class, which if you don't know, it's this guided meditation where it's kind of like you're in between a dream state and a sleep and awake, and it's beautiful. And the rain was falling and you could hear the crickets, and it was in this beautiful shala in the middle of Ubud. And I swear to God, hand on my heart, had a vision of me staying in Bali, doing my yoga teacher training and bringing these healing modalities back to London, back to the fast-paced lifestyle, and kind of making it my life's mission. So came out of that yoga class, called my boyfriend who was back in London taking care of our dog, called my family and said, I'm not going back to law school. I'm going to stay in Bali and live here for 2 months and become a yoga teacher and surf every day and then bring all this knowledge back to me, or back to London with me. So I did that and then came back to London about 2 weeks before we went into full lockdown, which if you don't know, we went into full lockdown here in London. Like, I think I left maybe once a week to get groceries, and then I walked the dog once a day because you can't do that to a dog. But so I really had to commit to this, right? Like, I could have very easily fallen back into the old patterns of getting a safe corporate job, you know, safe in my bubble, in my world, in my experience. But I decided not to do that. And I thought, you know, this is an opportunity. I'm home. I have some extra time. I can't really go out job searching at this moment. So why don't I actually throw myself into this? So yeah, I launched my brand. I have enrolled into a healing nutrition course that takes practices and principles from Ayurveda and traditional Chinese medicine to basically use food as your medicine. It mixes foods, herbs, adaptogens, energy work, yoga. So yeah, a lot of different healing modalities are kind of coming out of this for me. And yeah, I'm loving it so far.
Yeah, it's been so cool too. Obviously, I'm your friend and I've had kind of like a more inside look into this like evolvement for you, but it's been really cool to see like over the last 6 months, because I know the time period of when you were trying to decide if you were going to leave law school or not and like how challenging that was for you. And then you went to Bali, and I feel like that based off of what you're kind of sharing now is like that's when the light bulb went off. But like, I guess for the audience who's like maybe thinking about making a shift themselves, like, did you have moments of doubt? And like, was there anything that pushed you through those moments of doubt?
Oh God. Yeah. I think telling my grandparents that I was not even quitting law school, but taking a break from law school was the hardest decision, the hardest experience of my life. And I guess the audience would know, I was raised by my grandparents, so it would be like me telling my mom and dad.
Sure.
And it's not because of their reaction. They were great. You know, my grandfather said, you need to love what you do. You can't go to work every day and hate what you do. You can't live a life like that. But it was the pressure that I put on myself of their reaction. And so I think the fact that they were supportive in their own way, my partner was supportive, really did help me. But there were totally times where I was just like, is this the right decision? Like, what are people going to think of me? Are they going to judge me? Like, am I making the wrong decision and going down a path that's going to lead me nowhere? I definitely panicked. But it's in those moments that, honestly, it sounds like a cliche, but I get still. I get still within myself, mm-hmm. and either I'll meditate or I'll do yoga or I'll ride my bike or I'll take the dog for a walk. And I really, really try and get still because I've learned to trust my intuition. And if I can get still enough and actually listen to my gut, I know it's going to lead me to the right place. And once I get in touch with that, it's almost like instantaneously, mm-hmm. I get a new client, or I don't know, there's a sign from something, or I get to be asked to be on a podcast or something like that. It's almost like confirming that this is right for me.
Yeah. No, that makes so much sense. And I feel like there's been a lot of those like moments for you in the last like month or two that have kind of like reaffirmed. So it's awesome to see you kind of like come on the other side. But right, like change is really scary. So although you had those like really scary moments and those like moments of doubt, I think ultimately it's exciting as humans mm-hmm. to grow mm-hmm. and like to evolve and to shift. And I think the other thing that's cool is like, it's okay to take like a pause to think about these things before we do make those shifts. And I know I'm even feeling that from my perspective and just like becoming a mom and, you know, figuring out my new directions for like my business and my content. Like it's okay to take a moment and like to back off of things to then figure out your new direction.
Yeah. I think at least you can relate being in America. I used to think I had to have my major figured out when I was like 14,
right?
And so when I was 14, I was like, I need to get this grade and this in this class, and I need to do this extracurricular to get into this college so that I can do this major and I can do this thing. And, you know, it wasn't until I was, 25 that it really hit me. And I was like, I don't actually want to do this. I've never wanted to do this. And it really was taking that moment, because then, of course, you make that realization and you're like, oh my God, now I'm panicking because what the hell do I want to do?
Right.
Like, the world is almost too vast that you're like, there's so many options, I'm overwhelmed. So it really is taking a moment to sit in that uncomfortable feeling and kind of let that fizzle away so that you can really figure out what you want to do, and trial and error, and really get back to the root of who you are, what you like to do, and then kind of go from there.
Yeah, completely, completely. So I guess back to your business, do you want to share anything, I guess, in terms of like what you're launching? Is it like a program, or I guess, what does it kind of look like next for you?
Totally, yeah. So I'm working with clients one-on-one, and we basically hop on the phone, hop on video calls every other week, and we work through a lot of shadow work, a lot of blockages. We go into boundary work. We do confidence building. And it really is trying to teach them how to incorporate daily rituals and daily habits into their lives. But beyond that, we teach our clients to basically trust their own intuition because, for example, I like to do meditation, tapping, yoga, blah, 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 but not every day. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of learning to how to be quiet enough to listen to yourself, to ask yourself, what do you want to do today? Because I feel like we don't even know how to listen to our own intuition anymore. We don't know how to fuel our bodies, which the healing nutrition comes in. We don't know how to move our bodies. The yoga comes in. We don't know how to find stillness, the tapping, the meditation. We have childhood blockages that we need to work through mm-hmm. that could be affecting our relationships at work that you don't really think that much into on a day-to-day basis. But once you make that connection, it's like, wow, like that explains why I don't get along with this coworker. But if I shift my perspective this way, maybe we can have a different relationship. So it really is kind of pulling together all these different resources and uniquely tailoring them to the client so they mm-hmm. can find the confidence, find the self-trust to better themselves and live a calmer, peaceful life while still maybe living that fast-paced lifestyle. So find that inner calmness in the craziness of London.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. So it's like a tailored program, obviously, based on each different client. Wait, what's shadow work? I'm so intrigued.
So shadow work is, how would you explain it? So you and I talking to each other right now, we kind of have a persona on, right? Like, you know, it might be the same when we're recording, maybe the same when we're not recording, but like you as a mom is different than you as a friend, which is different than you as a wife, right? But then you also have you with yourself. And when you're with yourself, that's kind of when all those shadowy, demony, I would say, bits come up inside of you, the stuff that you don't actually want to look at, that scary, that is icky feeling. Mm-hmm. And so what I like to do with my clients is I like to bring that all up, right? Because wouldn't you rather that be brought up, dealt with now, and released from your body than trapped deep down in your body? Because, I mean, the science is now proving that trauma and stress kept in your body is directly linked to cancer, is directly linked to autoimmune, it's mm-hmm. anxiety, depression. It's truly these emotions have a toll on our physical body and our mental health. So it's really going into the shadows of your mind and your memory and you pulling them out to the center, shining light on them mm-hmm. and kind of dispersing them and sending them back out to the universe.
That makes so much sense. Okay. Is that where a lot of like that negative self-talk comes into play when you're, yeah, like it's just you with yourself, like you're going about your day, maybe you're like in a feeling not in the mood and you are, right, you're like beating yourself up over things. Is that like the, is that shadow work?
Yeah, that totally could. Yeah. You could totally do shadow work.
That's too interesting.
Yeah, exactly. To kind of get to the root of maybe why you have these thoughts and then you can go a step further and retrain the neural pathways of your brain through tapping, through mantras, through visualization, through a lot of other tools so that, you know, these thoughts are never going to go away entirely because that's mm-hmm. the human mind. It's the journey of being a human. But it's being able to notice the pattern and stop it before you spiral out of control, really.
Yeah. Okay. That's really interesting. I feel like there's so much more to dive into there, but I think I'll book a session with you soon. So shifting gears one more time, I want to hit on like morning routines and wellness tips with you because I feel like you're like the guru and I feel like you kind of have this down to a T. I see you sharing your morning routine with your audience all the time. So I love too that like you're sharing your morning routine, but you're adding value and you're answering like the why. Like, why are you doing these things? So can you kind of talk us through like a quick morning routine of yours?
Yeah, I will say I used to be that person who I had like my morning routine written out step by step. And if I didn't take one of them off, like it was ruined. And I went to my morning routine for like 3 months because I was like, I'm a failure and whatever. So I've totally restructured my mind, restructured my thinking to be like, okay, for the next 4 weeks, I'm going to have two things that I do every single morning and everything else is a bonus. So I guess what I'm doing right now is I'm drinking my lemon water every single morning and that's kind of my own meditation. And then I take that a step further and I'll continue once my lemon water is gone and I'm done reading my book. I'll turn that into a meditation. And then kind of from there, depending on how I'm feeling, how much time I have, I can do my yoga or my tapping or my breath work. But I really try and have at least that 15 minutes every single morning where I drink my lemon water mm-hmm. and do my meditation, find some stillness for myself.
Okay. Is it hot or cold water?
Yeah, it's my hot lemon water.
Okay, so, and why lemon?
Totally. So basically, you want to, first thing in the morning, drink something warm. You really want to be drinking warm or room temperature beverages all day. And this has been taught in Ayurveda practices for centuries. Because anything colder than that is really hard on our digestive system. So especially first thing in the morning, you want something warm to help wake it up. And the lemon in traditional Chinese medicine actually nourishes the liver and flushes out toxins from your body. So the same way you're wanting to get that copper tongue scraper on your morning to get rid of that ama, that toxin that builds up on your tongue, you want to drink your warm lemon water to flush out the toxins in your body. And it is, I do get feedback from some of my clients and they do find it really sour, obviously. But kind of beyond that, I found that that's because they're trying to chug it down in the morning to get to their morning coffee when in reality, another good purpose of it is to slow down and take baby steps and drink it like a ritual, like a meditation, not to kind of get your coffee from Starbucks to go, chug it down on your way to work to get the brain juice and the energy to get your day going. Like, you're really carving space into your morning to maybe appreciate how it tingles on your tongue and notice how it's mm-hmm. nourishing your body every single morning.
Yeah, makes sense. Okay, your hot lemon water is like my chlorophyll water in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Love chlorophyll.
Shout out to Renee Lapino mm-hmm. for making this recommendation when I literally moved to London and she was like, you need chlorophyll, amazing for your skin. And we go through the science in this in episode, I think one or two, if people want to learn more about it. But right, and I kind of do like more room temperature chlorophyll water. But maybe I'm going to switch over to lemon water. Maybe I'll do both.
It's both. A good tip. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? And then get your coffee in there after if you want.
Right. Completely. Okay. So you do your lemon water and then you get into your meditation. So
then, yeah. And then that kind of depends on how I feel. Again, I do transcendental meditation, which you do 2 times a day for 20 minutes a day. And that's really sitting in silence, repeating a mantra over and over again. Or I'll do a guided meditation, or I'll do... I don't know, even a guided self meditation or just breath work. Or sometimes I'm really strapped for time, I'll do like a shower meditation. So I'll just kind of sit in the shower for an extra 2 minutes, focus on my breath work and notice the sensations of the water hitting my body and the droplets falling off my hair or whatever it is. And just, again, finding that stillness in my morning. Mm-hmm. But that's not to say 4 weeks from now, you know, meditation might be a bit too still for me and I might want some moving meditation. So I'll do some yoga, or I'll do some tapping. Sometimes if I'm dealing with a question where I have a lot of feelings and I don't know why, I'll do this, the EFT tapping and make my own script so that I can just kind of tap through it, talk through it, and an answer will just come out of my body, out of my mouth. And there you go. That's kind of why I'm feeling that way. And I would have never gotten to that point if I hadn't done that tapping technique. So yeah, it really is learning how to listen to your body and give it what it wants and what it needs.
Yeah, completely. Okay, cool. So if someone maybe doesn't know where to start with like yoga, meditation, where do you recommend that they start? Is it like looking for a video on YouTube or something? Or
yeah,
what do you recommend?
That's kind of where I started, right? Like yoga by Adrienne, yoga with Adrienne. She was, I think, the first yoga I ever did. I think I did yoga when I was like 16 at a hot yoga studio and I hated it. And so she was kind of the first yoga instructor that I went to, and she has so many different videos. But yeah, definitely just Google it, YouTube it. You can kind of see what interests you, and then maybe you can work with somebody. Maybe you find an influencer mm-hmm. that you really like who's talking about one specific practice. You know, you really kind of just dive head in. It's a very welcoming community. Everybody, you know, we're here to heal people. We're here to help people. It's not very clicky, which I think can be very off-putting sometimes, especially kind of circling back to moving to London and making friends. Like, it can be quite scary to put yourself out there. So yeah, YouTube, mm-hmm. reach out to people who are essentially putting themselves out there to give you the knowledge. And yeah, I would just start there.
Yeah, completely. I love that. And I think something that you and I can like really agree on, especially during this time period that we're in right now, is like those moments are all we have. Those like quiet moments, those present moments to just like really get into your morning and your routine with so much unknown right now in the world. Like, I think that they just become exponentially more important.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think kind of last thing, I think it's also important not to put such a high expectation on yourself, right? So even if, like this morning, I was rushing out and I was like, I only got a 5-minute meditation in my shower, and like, go me, like I got a 5-minute meditation in. Whereas like a year ago, I would be like, oh my God, you didn't do your 20 minutes, Christina. What is wrong with you? Like, you have problems. Why can't you get your life together? But like, no, like I did 5 minutes meditation today. Like, that's awesome. Like, I think that's important too.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I think that's the perfect place to wrap this up. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me.
But before you go, where can everyone follow you, find information on your program, all of that jazz?
Yeah. So Instagram, Hautlistic, HautListic. And then it's just hautlistic.com. for my website has all the information on my program. But yeah, I talk about it on my Instagram too and give a lot of information there as well.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks everyone for listening. As always, if you found any value from this episode, please share with a friend, tag us on Instagram @TheBigMovePodcast. We always love to hear your feedback, and we will catch you next time.